Hi there. Welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Amen and amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate Jesus. It's about celebrating Jesus, my friend. Hallelujah. Without Palm Sunday, without Palm Sunday, we are not here. Without Palm Sunday, there is no Christianity at all. Hallelujah. We thank God that Jesus Christ had to go into Jerusalem. Amen. And Father, as we assemble at your table to hear your word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And Father, we pray that speak, Lord, we hear. King of Kings, I am praying that you will use me as your mouthpiece this afternoon, that Father, your name and your name and only shall be exalted in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. This morning we are talking about the Liberator. Jesus Christ, our Liberator. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Jesus Christ, our Liberator. Without him, some of us would not be stood here. He liberated us from habits that were so detrimental to our lives. Not only to our lives, but also the people that surround us. Some people did not survive them. They died. But the Liberator liberated me in the name above every other name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you don't, that's why you cannot clap, because you don't, you know, it's okay with you. You know, for you, you were born holy. You just jumped out of your mother's womb into the church. You know, that's why you don't understand what it means to be liberated from things that you cannot free yourself from, you yourself. From habits that are eating you alive. Do you understand? From being an alcoholic, the only thing that you think about is drinking. And your friends are dropping like flies. They are dying. But somehow, you are still alive. Your friends are dying with AIDS all around you. And somehow, in 2021, you are still alive. How? My God, how? How can you explain that? I had to be liberated. It is Jesus. Every one of you, I bet that in that chair is a story. You know, you may look holy and sanctified with the mascara. Even when you're worshiping, you don't want tears to come down because you took your time to prepare that face. I am telling you, behind that face, there's a story. He liberated you. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ came for a mission. He came for a purpose. He left heaven, came for a purpose to accomplish that mission. And he was stayed on his mission. He was focused on his mission. And you know what his mission was? His mission was me. I was his mission. If you think he was your mission, then if you think you were his mission, then you are his mission. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he's, you know, this is a mission that started in heaven, inaugurated in Bethlehem, and it had to be accomplished in Jerusalem. And that is why today we celebrate Palm Sunday. The entire life of Jesus Christ and his ministry was one long choreographed journey towards Jerusalem. He came down from heaven, bowed down from glory, left glory, put on frail humanity. He put on frail humanity, a bag of sand, a bag of soil. The Bible says that God created man out of soil. You are a pile of soil. You are a pile of soil. I am a pile of soil. Do you understand? That is the house in which you are. The moment you are finished with your duty, God calls you, and this pile has got to be put back into the soil. So do not allow this pack of soil just, you know, to cause you to get into enmity with other people. Some you are struggling with so and so. Just why? Just nibitak. It's just soil. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Are we together? Yeah. He came to rescue us. He came for a purpose. And he was stayed. He was stayed on this race. He said, I must go to Jerusalem. I must accomplish it. I must go to Jerusalem where I must be arrested by scribes, by the Pharisees, by the religious leaders. I must be scourged. I must be mocked, and I must be crucified. And all this was because of you and me. So one time, he is preaching somewhere. And then he is accosted by the Pharisees. You see, Jesus Christ, whenever he was healing in his ministry, he would tell people, do not tell them what happened. Go and show. He would heal the lepers and say, go and show yourself to the priest, but do not say who healed you. But on this occasion, Jesus Christ is about to come publicly. So one time in Luke chapter 13, verse 31 to 32, Jesus Christ is accosted by the Pharisees. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 13, verse 31, the Bible says, at that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Luke 13, 31. Hang on a minute. Why are the Pharisees trying to save Jesus? Are they genuine in what they are saying? These are the guys who have been looking for him to kill him. These are the guys for whom he came as a trouble. He came to challenge the status quo. He came to challenge their beliefs. He came to challenge the way they were operating. And here they are telling him, get away, get out of here. Herod wants to kill you. Do you understand your enemy trying to tell you that, you know, that your enemy, there's somebody coming to kill you? You've got to be suspicious. Clearly, their motives are not correct. They are not in the right place. This is what he answers them in verse 32. And he said to them, go and tell that fox. Go and tell that fox called who? Herod. Behold, I cast out demons. And I am performing miracles. I am curing people. And today I am doing the same. Tomorrow I will continue doing the same. Even on the third day I will continue doing the same until I do what? Until I finish my course. Wow. In other words, I am not terrified. I am not scared by anyone. I am on a mission on behalf of a much higher authority than who? Than Herod. So go tell that fox that I am here. I am here to do what God sent me to do, and I will check out when I want to check out. Nobody can threaten me. Hallelujah. Can I announce to somebody this afternoon that nobody can take you out in the name of God? You should not be scared of anything. Don't be scared of any disease. Don't be scared of any problem. Oh my God, continue doing that which God called you to do. And when the time comes, he will call you home. Do not be, there are many things that will try to silence you. Do you think that the Pharisees had Jesus' interests at heart? They were trying to divert him from his mission. Because they knew the moment he dies, many are gonna. In fact, it was not the Pharisees.
It was the devil. Because he knew the moment Jesus dies, many are going to be saved. Therefore, he came and says, you know what? They came to distract him. Many will come to this. Not everybody who comes, who speaks into your ear has got your interest. Be careful. Most of them will tell you what seems obvious, but not everything is as it seems. They'll come, you know, clothed in concern for you. You know, I've got concern for you. Because Herod is going to kill you. This thing is going to kill you. Jesus Christ said, go tell that fox. Tell the enemy. Look the enemy in the face and say, you know what? I am unstoppable. I am going to do what God told me to do today and tomorrow and the other day until he calls me home. Do you understand? It says, until I finish my course. You have a mission. That one I need to remind you every other time. You are here on a mission. A mission that is greater than you just marrying. A mission that is greater than you just having children. You understand what I'm saying? So unless, if you do not understand it, you will be stuck in this little world. This little world called my marriage. This little world called my children. And when the children go away, what, you will run crazy. Because the children will. They have got their own mind. So if your whole world is in them, you will go crazy. Stick to me. Tell the fox, say, you know what? You will not distract me by touching my child. You will not distract me by touching my husband. You will not distract me by touching my career. You cannot distract me. I will continue doing what God asked me to do, what he called me to do here until he calls me home. You cannot distract me. I have got to finish my course. Do you have a mission? If you didn't know you have it, you need to find out what it is. Jesus' mission was to substitute man who was sentenced to death. He was to substitute us at the cross. Why? Because God could not take back his word. This is what he says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. He said, and the Lord commanded man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. So he was on a mission. Going back to Luke chapter 13, he says in verse 32, I will continue casting out demons. I will continue healing the sick until I finish my course. Verse 33. Nevertheless, you must be a person who says, nevertheless, you look at the problem and say, you know what, you may be here staring me in the face, but nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the following day. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. There is no way Jesus Christ was to die outside Jerusalem. His mission was to die where? In Jerusalem. So he says, you know what? There's nothing that can distract me from my way into Jerusalem. Nevertheless, I must go on my way. Irrespective of whether Herod is looking for me or not, I must continue. I must stay the course. Because it is impossible for a prophet to die outside of Jerusalem. Yeah. It is impossible for you to die the way the enemy thinks you will die. It is impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible. That sickness will not kill you. It is impossible. You must reach your destiny. Herod is inconsequential. Herod represents many things. Represents problems, he represents issues, because we are up against a lot. Herod is inconsequential. You must finish your course, my friend. I must finish my course, my friend. I must. Nevertheless, I must go on my way. Today, yeah. Tomorrow, yeah. Until I get to my destination. Because you know what? No prophet dies out of Jerusalem. Verse 34, he says, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem. He laments over Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem did not understand who he was. They did not understand what he represented. You see, for us, we have got the luxury of reading the scriptures today. But the people who were living in his days then, they had no clue what this man represented. They had no clue. He says, oh, Jerusalem, a city that does what? That kills prophets and stones them, those who are sent to it. How often would I gather you, your children, together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing? How often? He's asking. Because he had longed to protect Jerusalem with all love. But they had rejected him. Because they did not know who he was. Verse 35, he says, behold, your house is forsaken. Jerusalem, you're forsaken. He says, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jerusalem, you will not see me until you begin to realize that I am blessed, that I am more than what you think I am. And that, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to today, Palm Sunday. Not until they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, did he happen to get into Jerusalem. Until you realize who I am, I will not come to you. Quoting Psalm 118, verse 26, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of God. So Palm Sunday, come to Matthew chapter 21. Palm Sunday, for Jesus, the time is ripe. Now is the time to get into where? Into Jerusalem. He is getting to the culmination of his ministry. He is coming to the finish line. He must enter Jerusalem. And he enters as a liberator. He enters as a liberator. I remember in those days, many years ago, when we were in one city and we had been under, you know, very brutal leadership. Until a certain army came in that was fighting this leadership, came and overthrew him. And the way they came in, my friend, they came in as heroes. Because they had liberated us from a hand of strange men, a hand of oppression. They came as liberators. And Jesus Christ is entering Jerusalem as a liberator. He enters asserting authority. This is a place where he has been sought for. The people have been wanting to kill him. Herod is in this city. The people who want to kill him. But on this occasion, he is coming. The Bible says that he set his face to Jerusalem. Kama mbaya mbaya. He went into their den. He went into their territory to assert his territory, his authority. Meaning that here I come. I come as a king. You may have Herod as a king, but he is just insignificant to who I am. I come in my power. I am coming to take over. I am coming to liberate. My God, I'm entering this city of religion. I'm entering this city that has got messianic expectations. That is in dire of a deliverer. That is in dire of a messiah. I come in my authority. Oh my God, I come to free them spiritually. I come to free them materially. I come to free them physically. I come in my element. Yeah. He enters in his element. Palm Sunday was not just palms. It was not just a joke. It was very significant. He enters to overturn tables. That's why he went straight into the temple and overturned the tables of those guys who had turned it into a market. He entered with authority, but yet with meekness at the same time. You remember, he's the lion and the what? He enters the city. Publicly, this is a man who has been, you know, hiding from these guys. But this time he enters publicly, declaring to the people that I am your king. I am your Messiah. The one that you have been waiting for. Here I am. He comes headed for his palace. But his palace unknown to them. His palace is not a physical one. His palace is a spiritual one. His palace is a heart. His palace is your heart. His palace is my heart. Hallelujah. But he needed a ride before he gets into the city. He needed a ride. He needed a limousine. He needed a limousine. What would you do if you were in his position and you have got that authority? How would you enter into that city? If it was, you know how our leaders today, they travel. They send an advance party. You see, military men, that's in Africa, not here. You see, cars passing by, you know that there's somebody coming. There's a retinue. They go ahead of him with sirens, and then these cars with long guns that can shoot. I don't know why they carry all those guns. And you know, then you know that the man is coming. Not Jesus. Jesus came, entered Jerusalem in a special way. You know, people want to show strength with things, with weaponry. But that's not strength. As a matter of fact, that's weakness. That is weakness. If you ever see a leader who surrounds himself with so much power, so much firepower, I can guarantee you that that guy is a weak man. I will repeat that. He's a weak man. Look at the way our prime ministers travel here. And they are very powerful men. Very powerful, but you go to Africa and see a leader traveling, you will be shocked. You will be shocked. Jesus Christ did not need all that. He needed modest transport. And we go into Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 to 5. Mercy read that scripture for us earlier. The Bible says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem, remember all this journey from Bethlehem has been going into Jerusalem. It has been about going to Jerusalem. Now they're about to enter Jerusalem. He's about to enter his final stage. But then he pauses. They come to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives. Then he calls two of his disciples. The Bible does not tell us their names. Silent about their names. Just calls. I don't know who they are. Whether Peter or I don't know. So he says to them, go into the village in front of you. And immediately you will find a donkey tied. Wow. That authority. He knows what lies ahead. And he said, you know, you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. This is what you're going to do. Just untie them and bring them to me. What? Yeah. Just untie them and bring them to me. He reads what's on the question that's on their minds. He says, if anyone shall say to you, why are you untying them? This is what he will answer them. Said, the Lord does what? He needs them. The Lord needs them. And then he will send you away at once. This took place, the Bible says, to fulfill what was prophesied or spoken by the prophet, saying, this is prophet Zechariah. They are quoting Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It says, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king, behold who? Your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, and a fowl of a beast of burden. My God, these are words that are spoken many years before this is happening. This is the advance party. God's advance party is his word. Unlike, you know, these guys of the world whose advance party is a retinue of all sorts of weaponry. His is his word. His word goes ahead of him. So the prophecy of Zechariah is about to be fulfilled. He says, your king is coming. Who is coming? The king. But how is he to come? His demeanor is humble. He is a humble king. His temper is mild. He is not coming with wrath to take vengeance. No. He's coming with mercy. He's coming to work salvation. He's coming to work salvation for his children. He is not entering the city to dominate it. He's entering to die for it. Do you understand that? He is not about dominating. No. He has come to lay his life down for the city. He comes in meekness. He comes in humility to suffer the greatest injuries and humiliation any man could ever see. A king, but humble. He comes to forgive the people of Jerusalem, the people who forsook him. The people who did not want to see him, the ones that he longed to brood over, just like a chicken broods over its young ones, they have rejected him, but he has got to come for them because he's on a mission of salvation. On this occasion, he's easy to access. Even his enemies are in now proximity to him. He is not that meek teacher. No. He is this meek king. And let me tell you, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. His government is by love, not written by laws that are written in pen, in ink. His are written by his blood. His blood is about to write these laws, the love of God. He does not come in pomp and ceremony. He is lowly. He is meek. And that's why the Bible says, Paul, as he's writing the Philippians, says, let this mind that is was in Christ Jesus be in you. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, in the Amplified, he says, let this same attitude, this is a God who is powerful, but he comes in a humble way. Let this same attitude and purpose and a humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, 5. So let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God as a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. But this is what he did. He stripped himself of all privileges and the rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant. He stripped himself to assume something that is beneath him. See, some of us are not able to do some things which we think are beneath us. You have not yet reached. You're not yet a servant. A servant is a person who will do something that is beneath him. That's what the Bible is saying. Let that mind be in you. He's about to become sin on the cross. He stripped himself of godliness and is about to become sin. Not for his sake, but for the sake of others. Hallelujah. Bible says, to assume the guise of a servant slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. My God. God being born a human being. That cannot even enter my mind. If I was God, I don't think I would want to be born like a human being. Thank God I am not God. If I was God, you would not have a savior. I don't know about you. It says, and after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further. He went even down and carried his obedience to the extreme death, even the death of the cross. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you may be anointed. You may be, you know, blessed, but you need to be humble. The King of Kings, the one who did not consider himself to be God with a robbery, he humbles himself. He's of a humble character. You cannot tell me that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You are his servant, and yet you are so proud. No. He is humble. You've got to be humble. The higher he takes you, my friend, and he's about to take you higher, by the way. He's about to take you higher financially. He's about to take you higher spiritually. But the higher he takes you, listen, the higher he takes you, the lower you should go. Jesus comes as an example. He chose to demonstrate humility. The King of Kings chose to demonstrate humility by the manner in which he enters the city. Remember, he has come to assert authority, but he's looking for a ride. And the ride is looking for, it's not even a horse. He looks for a donkey. He's looking for a donkey. He's looking for a donkey. Horses were kept by great men and for war, but he's coming in peace. He's entering Jerusalem to conquer it with peace, not with war. Because he is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. He is the Prince of Peace. Let me tell you, there are many wars that can be won by peace, not war. That friend of yours that you don't want to speak to, your sibling, peace. Take peace. Peace will settle it, not war. Do you have the Prince of Peace in you? Then where do the wars come from that are among you? You cannot have the Prince of Peace in you and then be at war. It can't happen. It can't happen. I repeat, you can't have the Prince of Peace in you and then be at war with people. You can't. You can't. There are some people you don't see in the face, you don't want to see in the face, you spit. You know, you can't. It can't happen. That means he's not on the throne. If he's on the throne, my friend, you will be a man of peace. You will be a woman of peace. Not pieces. So Christ could have, in his power, he could have summoned the cherubim. He could have summoned the angels to go ahead of him. But no. Psalm 18 verse 10 says, he rode on a cherubim and flew. This is God. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. This is what Jesus Christ would have done. But no. Though his name is Jehovah, which speaks of God who rides upon the heavens, who rides upon the wings of the wind. Yet now, he is humbled in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Is in a state of humility, and he's about to be humiliated for my sake and for your sake. He rides not on a horse, but on a donkey. That's what he's calling for. Say, go and look for that donkey. Go and look for that donkey. Why a donkey? Characteristics of a donkey. Number one, a donkey is humble. A donkey is humble. A donkey, you know, in the Bible, it represents, it's a symbol of suffering. It's a symbol of peace. It's a symbol of humility. God will not ride on the proud. No, he's looking for donkeys. He's looking for donkeys. Is there a donkey? Is there any donkey in the house here? A donkey is very, very humble. It is not easily spooked like horses do. Mm-mm. They make better rides. Horses have got the affinity to flight response. They want to run all over the place when they perceive danger. Not donkeys. A donkey is harder to startle. It will consider the risk before it decides either run or stick around. Are you a donkey or are you a horse? Horses are impulsive. Did you see how the pastor looked at me today? I don't think he loves me anymore. The horse is gone. Did you see the house, sister so-and-so? Did you hear what she said, sister? Sister, she annoyed me so much, you know. I cannot stand this. The horse is gone. The donkey is not startled by anything. The donkey remains. The donkey studies the situation. The donkey weighs the situation. It weighs the words. Come on. Are you a donkey or are you a horse? Characteristic number two. A donkey is a beast of burden. It's a beast of burden. It is patient and slow to anger. It can be burdened, overburdened, by the way. Overburdened. Have you ever seen a donkey carrying stuff? It, at times it carries stuff that if you look at it, the stuff is almost touching the sky on this little thing. It doesn't seem angry when it is loaded by stuff. This is too much for me, you know. Too much for you. Then you are not a donkey. God cannot use you. And listen, the burden it is carrying does not even belong to it. For some of us, if something does not belong to you, you will not even touch it. And you call yourself a servant. You call yourself... I am laughing at you. This donkey is carrying stuff that does not belong to it. Doesn't even know where it's going. Are you able to carry my stuff? She's very frank. She can't. Are you able to carry my stuff? Are you able to carry people's burdens that are not yours? The donkey has the willingness to take on other people's burdens and other people's responsibilities. And it takes on more and more and more and more. It's not tired, does not complain. That's why the Bible says, do everything without grumbling. It is not grumbling. If you are a grumbler, I have come to tell you that you need liberation. You need to be liberated. A donkey personifies the qualities of determination to serve others. The donkey does not carry stuff that belongs to it. It carries stuff that belongs to some other people, heavy as it may be. Number three, it loves its master. A donkey loves its master. At times, you know, donkeys will go out and to find their owners. They will go out after them in the crowd to find the owner. So the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 3. It says the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. He is looking for a donkey that loves him. He was looking for a donkey that understands him. But the problem was that it was tied. The problem is that it is tied. Go look for a donkey. You will find the donkey and its young one. I need them. But they are tied. They are tied. And he foresees their bondage. The bondage that has been instituted upon these donkeys by the steward of these donkeys, who thinks that he is the owner. He has misplaced his stewardship. And he has tethered them. He has tied them. Tethered to confines. Tethered to limitations. Tethered to demarcations. Have you ever seen a cow that is on zero, on a rope, that feeds on a rope? It will only go around as far as the rope can go. It cannot go beyond the rope. And this is the donkey that Christ wants to use. This donkey represents somebody here who is bound by a rope. A rope that has been put upon you by the enemy. And you cannot go beyond. You cannot go beyond some stuff. You cannot go beyond. There are some confines. There are some limitations that he has put upon you. And yet, he wants to use you. The steward had determined how far these donkeys could reach, what they could eat, what they could drink. This is your net worth. This is how much you can earn. This is your circle of influence. You can never go beyond this. The donkeys needed liberation. I'm reminded of the children of Israel in slavery when they wanted to go to worship. Moses is telling Pharaoh, leave, let my people go. God says, let my people go, that they may go and worship me. And he says, you know, okay, they can go, but not very far. She can go to London, yes, but she cannot succeed. She cannot succeed beyond this point. She can get married or he can get married, but they will not go beyond this point. Tethered on a rope. And yet God wants to use you. What is Jesus Christ communicating by asking his disciples to do this? He's saying that I have come to liberate that colt and its young one. I have come to liberate that family. I have come to liberate the old. I have come to liberate the young. Hallelujah. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So go and loose them. Go and untie them. Go and unbind them. Go and break and destroy and dissolve and melt every mode of captivity that has been holding them. Set them free, release them, deliver them, and bring them to me. Because I need them. I need them. Not just want. God needs you. Do you know what the difference is between need and want? Want is something that you can do away with, or do without, rather. Something, you need oxygen to live. You need oxygen to live. Is that true? You need food to live. Is that true? Yeah. Jesus Christ needs you for his mission to be accomplished in life. He needs you. And therefore, he will do anything to break that rope that has been holding you in the name of Jesus. So what is happening on Palm Sunday is liberation. And Jesus Christ is using the symbol of liberating the colt, the sheep, the donkey, and its colt to represent what he came to do, to untie man that he may use him. That's what he says in Luke chapter 4. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, as is in that temple. As he opens the scroll and comes to this point and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty. Liberty to the captives. Liberty to those donkeys. Liberty to the colt. Liberty. I am here to liberate them. To liberate them from the limitations that tether them down. The enemy will try to resist your freedom. That's why he says, if anyone asks you, because this was not an easy thing. Can you imagine somebody just pouncing on you, just on your farm? You have this donkey that you have been tethered on a rope and you find somebody untying it. What would you do? some of us would beat them to a pulp. What are you doing? Why are you untying it? Why are you untying this man from poverty? Why are you untying this man from disease? Why? The Lord, the word Lord means owner, the owner, the rightful owner. You are not the rightful owner. The rightful owner is in need of them. He wants to unleash them into their purpose. You have limited their exposure. You have limited. He wants to unleash them. You know, the enemy wants to see you tethered all the time because he thinks he owns you. He likes to see it when you cannot see beyond your confines. But this morning, somebody is going to see beyond the rope. You're going to see beyond this circumference that you have been feeding. Hallelujah. 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 Why? Because the enemy does not want to let loose because he will lose control. And yet Jesus Christ came to free us. He came to proclaim liberty. Hallelujah. The owners, the owner of this donkey and his colt, they had measured how far they could go. They had measured how far they could accomplish, how much they could get, how much they could earn, how much their influence could be. Listen, they were telling the donkey, you're not fit for those things that are beyond the rope. Those things that are beyond the circumference that are measured for you, they don't belong to you, so don't even bother. You are meant to be in these fields, not the city. You are only meant for private duty, not public duty. But Jesus Christ came to change that. When he says, I am in need of them, he came to take them beyond where they had been. He came to take them to the city where they were called to be. Some of us are called for the nations, not just for this city, but there's a rope that has been holding you. But in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, Manderebo, the one who holds you, your master, your possessor, the real owner is here to unleash you. The one who knows you, the one who knows their potential, the one who knows their full potential, the one who knows their full purpose is here. He needs them. As a matter of fact, these donkeys were designed to carry kings. They were not designed to eat, you know, in confines in the backside of your farm. They were meant to carry kings. They were meant to carry royalty into a city. Can you imagine these donkeys being taken and they enter into this city? They have never been where in this place. Let me tell you, you are about to go to places you have never been. I don't know whom I'm talking to. You are about to go to places where you have never been. You are about to carry stuff that you have never carried in the name above every other name. You were designed to carry salvation and hope in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living. Behold, he comes to liberate you. He is in need of you. You were made for masses. You were made for a bigger platform. He's about to, you see, what you're about to become is about to be revealed. The unveiling process begins now. The unveiling process. God is unveiling somebody. He's unveiling somebody. You have been hidden. You have been hidden and, you know, tied down like these donkeys. But God is freeing you for higher purpose, for higher work. Hallelujah. Some of us have been tied down by guilt, tied down by anxiety, tied down by concern. But he's about to unleash you right now so that you may go in and praise him and give him honor in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Your freedom is here. So my friend, Palm Sunday is not just a celebration of Christ as a king. It is a celebration of Jesus as our liberator from dependencies, from afflictions, from things that had tied us down. We need to be free in order to experience his life in us. As a pastor, I have witnessed many real life troubles that bind people into dysfunction. People who are gifted. People who can sing like angels. People who can do stuff. But they are bound. And they don't know it. Bound by anger. Bound by the past. Somebody stepped on their toes, you know, many years ago, and they are still there. Their potential is immense. But they are tied. And yet the Lord needs them. The Lord needs that donkey. The Lord needs that colt. But it is tied. Mentally tied. You see the person looking flashy, you know, driving flashy, but mentally they are captives. Captives of negativity, captives of destruction, captives. And Palm Sunday is happening because God wants to liberate a donkey. He wants to liberate a colt. He wants to, he is in need of you. He wants to get over you. He wants you to carry his glory. Palm Sunday is an occasion when we need to ask ourselves, what is it that has been tying me? What needs to be untied in my life? like that donkey, like that colt. Lord, do not pass me by this afternoon. Untie me. Untie me. Untie me. So Matthew chapter 21, verse 6 to 11, as we finish, the Bible says the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. He sat on them. Jesus wants to sit on you. He wants to sit on you this afternoon. He wants you to be his mode of transport at your place of work. He wants you to be his mode of transport wherever you go in ministry, wherever you go, that you may carry Jesus. When they see you, they may see this man carries Jesus. This man carries Jesus. This woman carries Jesus. He wants to sit on you. He sat on them. Then most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees. That's where we get palm Sunday. They had palm trees, palm branches. They laid them on the road, and the crowds that went before him and followed him were shouting. They were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The Son of David is a messianic title. Hosanna to the Messiah, they were saying. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Remember when he said, I will never come to you until you do what? Until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now they are saying so he can walk in their lives. And when the entire city, and when he entered the city, the whole city was stirred up. They were asking, who is this? People are saying, who is this? Who is? Let me tell you. Do you think when they were asking, who is this, they were only seeing Jesus? Even the donkey was being seen. Guess what? When the glory of God is upon you, they will be saying, who is this? They will not only be saying, who is this? Who is this that he carries? Who is carrying him? The donkey and the colt rose to fame. Who is this? Who is this? They said. And the crowd said, the prophet, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. My friend, he's not just a prophet. Muhammad is a prophet. All the others, Elijah's were a prophet. This is why I told, they had no clue who this man was. They say he's a prophet. But even in their own, you know, in ignorance, they laid their cloaks on the road, symbolizing their submission to him as a king. They laid the palms on the tree, on the road. You know, that was a symbol of Jewish nationalism and victory over one's enemies. And they were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. You know what they were doing? They were quoting Psalm 118, verse 25 to 26. It's what they were saying. Save us, we pray. Save us, we pray. Save us, Lord. Save us, Lord. Just like you have just saved those donkeys. Save us, my Father. Please save us. Do not pass us by. Can somebody this afternoon cry out and say, save me, Lord. Do not pass me by, gentle Savior. Do not pass me by, gentle Savior. They cried out, Hosanna, save us. Save me, Father Lord, from this pandemic. Save me from this issue that is at. I don't know what is in your life right now, but somebody in this place, if you need salvation, stand on your feet and begin to call upon him. Say, Lord, save me. If you need salvation in any arena, I know you guys, I thought I knew that none of us here would need salvation. Oh, there are some of us. Okay, that's good. That's good. Just begin to shout to him. Say, Lord, save me. Save me. Save me like you saved that donkey. Untie me. Untie me, Lord. Untie me, Father God. Untie me. Liberate me. Break every rope, my Father, Lord. Break every rope of sin. Some of us are tied down by habits. Habits that are deprecating. You need salvation. You need to be saved. Save me from this hand, from this thing that I cannot control. This power that is above me. This thing that is powerful, more powerful than I am, my Lord. I need, King of Kings, you to save me, Lord. I need you to untie me from disease. I need you to untie me from poverty, from ignorance. Untie me. from every limitation. I pronounce that every limitation is being broken in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. It's being broken, it's being broken, it's being broken. Every rope that has tied you, that has tethered you, my God, every rope that the enemy had measured over your children, over your life, over your destiny, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, behold, he who comes is greater than the one who that's in the world. Hosanna in the highest, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Save us, O Lord. They cried, save us. He wants to free you this afternoon. He wants to free that he may ride on you, that he can ride on you, that he can ride on you, that you can he can ride on you so that you can take his glory into this Jerusalem, that you can take his glory into your into wherever you go, into your family, into your place of work, that you can carry his glory, that you can carry his mission. Jesus Christ says, go and untie them. Go and tie them. And if anyone asks you, tell them the Lord needs them.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.